was standing just outside the door, so I heard it all. Thank you, thank you. So today we'll be talking about, this is the third part of our prayer series. Today we'll be talking about when God says no. The first one that I preached on was about the fact that prayer is, well, let me just put it here. Hopefully this works. Prayer is the vehicle by which we are transported into heaven's atmosphere. When you pray, instead of just staying in your mind and in your room, in your closet, wherever it is, God wants us to use the Holy Spirit and our imagination to raise us up, as Ellen White says, to bring us into heaven's atmosphere, and to use your imagination to do so. You know, holy imagination, as Paul says, to imagine the throne. If you close your eyes and imagine the throne, what does it look like? The throne of God in heaven, and Jesus at the right hand of the Father. So when you pray, that image should be in your mind, to approach the throne of God. So when you pray, you can pray in the presence of the Almighty with angels singing and flying around. That's what you can do. And that's what prayer is supposed to do. Bring you. It's the vehicle that transports you into heavenly realm. Number two, prayer is meant to transform us into God's image. Okay? So it's not just about a ritualistic thing where you just say words and say your prayer. But actually, prayer is meant for us to enter into a very honest interaction with the Holy Spirit, and for us to pray, God, search me. If you really pray that prayer, He will. If you dare so. Now, not everybody is excited about that, but if you pray, search me and try me. See if there be any offensive, as some translations say wicked, but offensive way in me. If you open yourself up like that to God, God will meet you, and He will slowly but surely, maybe not all in one sitting, but slowly as you pray each day and enter into this honest connection with God, dialogue with God, and say, search me and try me, show me if there is something. And within that, and as we see God in His goodness, as we experience God in His goodness, we are transformed like a caterpillar in a cocoon. We are transformed. When we come out different. Hopefully, more beautiful. So today, when God says no, have you ever prayed and God said, it seems as though God says no. There's no answer. It seems like there's no answer. Maybe there is, but it just seems like nothing. And you pray for healing, you pray for wisdom, or in a sign for a decision you're trying to make. Whatever it is, deliverance from something, and God doesn't seem to be doing anything. So I'm just going to make this very general because I don't want to reveal any identity or anything like that. But we have a friend, and this person had a terrible accident. And before the accident, this person was doing great. He was making tons of money, had nice big house, nice family, everything. Suddenly had a terrible accident. And I remember getting the news and come to the hospital. And so we went to the hospital, and the church members were there, and they were all praying. And they said, please pray, please. He's in a dire situation. They could lose him. So pray that God spares his life. And so we did. We prayed earnestly that God would spare his life. And they anointed him. His life was spared. He made it through. But he came out unable to speak initially. And whatnot. Just a long story short, he could not, part of him was paralyzed somewhat, and he couldn't really speak very well. Anywho, again, long story short, things kind of unraveled from there. And he ended up, his family kind of broke apart. He couldn't work anymore and whatnot. And he is kind of in a very broken place. Very kind of lonely, broken place. He can't even see his kids. He can't really communicate well. And he's living in a place, in a situation where he doesn't want to be. And you got to ask, what happened here? What happened? I don't know. We don't really know completely. But maybe we shouldn't have prayed exactly for that. Maybe. Again, I don't know. But maybe we should have just prayed that God's will be done. And maybe it would have been better. It's hard for me to say at this vantage point, but it seems. I don't know what the future holds. But from this point, it seems like it may have been better had he just passed. I don't know. There's this great story, right? Here is this story of Hezekiah that you may have heard about, right? He's this great king. He was a faithful king. He was one of the good ones. He really was. And long story short, he got sick. He had got a boil, and it got infected or something. And Isaiah comes out, the prophet says, Hezekiah, you're going to die. You're going to die. You know, get ready to put your house in order. You're going to die. And Hezekiah, what did he do? He said, no! No, I don't, that's not the answer I want. And he pouted. And so he stopped eating. He turned his back to the wall, and he was crying, you know. He said, God, you can't do this to me. And so God, in his, I don't know, he was just being a mushy parent, okay, at this point. And he said, okay, Hezekiah, okay, I'll let you live. You know, you really shouldn't, but I'm going to let you live. And so he did. And Hezekiah got better. And what happens? Hezekiah starts making these bad decisions. Long, long story short, because of his bad decisions, his whole kingdom comes to ruin. I mean, Babylon comes in and just kind of routs him. And it's a long story, but he made some key mistakes. What we're trying to say is God was telling him, it's better if you just die at this point. Tough thing to hear. It's a tough thing to hear. Paul. Oops, what is that? Anyway, Paul, DFD, try to figure that one out. Anyway, Paul, as you know, he prayed to God, and this is what he says. Let me see if I have here. Well, let me just set this up. Paul, he gets these incredible visions, and he's taken to heaven. The third heaven, he says. And he sees and hears things that human beings are not allowed to hear and see. Special, special. I mean, he's the elite of the elite. He gets to have these experiences that very few people have. So Paul, this is what he says. Let me, don't tell me I don't have it here. Oh, boy. Anyway. He says, because of these exceeding revelations, God gave to me a thorn in the flesh in order to keep me humble. That's what he says. And he prays to God three times, and God says, no, no, no. My grace is sufficient for you. That was the answer. And Paul accepted it, and he understood because of this exceeding blessing and temptation that arises for pride, God had to give him something to keep him humble. It's an interesting concept. Okay, here's the clincher, right? Jesus. Of all the people who got a no answer, this is the biggie. Jesus got a no answer. He came to his father. You know, he always got yeses from his father. Whatever miracle it was or whatnot, he got a yes. But here, in this situation, Jesus prays, Father, take this cup from me. And his father said, no. And so here he is. He fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Right? And so God's will was that he drink the cup. And he did. The cup was the cross. The cross brought salvation for the world. So in Luke 9, it says, he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. So he calls us and he invites us all to take up our cross. Every cross is unique. And I must say, it's not fair. Some crosses are more difficult, more challenging than others. And I don't know how it's determined. I really don't. But every cross, I rarely have ever come across anybody, Christian or non-Christian, that did not have a cross to bear. Once in a blue moon, I come across maybe someone like that, but every person has something, like Steve Jobs, right? Has this crazy successful, makes billions, but then he gets cancer. You know what I mean? Just something. I can go on, but I won't. So the purpose, just a few purpose of the cross. Why God would say no? One of the reasons for the cross, as we talked about, it seems to say that it is to grow our faith. You know, in John it says, so he's told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, but for your sake I'm glad I was not here, so that you may believe. He purposely delayed so that they could grow their faith. Purpose number two, keep us humble, like I said. Because of these surpassing, here's the passage. A surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I don't know what it was, but man, that sounds bad, really bad. Tormented. But God said, no, you need it to keep you from being conceited. Third purpose of the cross is, I think, possible here is witness for others, right? So here's an example of Paul and Silas in jail, and they're praying and singing to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So there are situations where, you know, despite the fact that we get a no answer and we keep praising God, it's a testimony, it's a witness. So God, like martyrs, who praise God while they're dying, they're being crucified or burned or cut in half or whatever it was, they were praising God as this was happening. And that's a testimony to God. And on the other hand, you have the three friends of Daniel who God protected. And that's also a good testimony. So God can be glorified both by granted prayers and ungranted prayers, if there's such a word. Okay. Ultimately, here I shared with you this passage about being one with God. That's one of the purposes of prayer, is to be one with God, as Jesus prayed. But here he says, I am the true vine and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. There is this concept of pruning. And the word for pruning here, katheiro, okay? Katheiro is what the Greek word is. And the meaning of this word is to cleanse from filth, impurity, and undesirable elements, to eliminate or eliminating what is fruitless or hindering fruitfulness. So the idea here is that if you've done any gardening at all, or if you have fruit trees, this is what you do, is you observe the plant, and if it's growing well, that's great. But then, even though it's growing well, you have to prune it. You have to cut off certain branches and clean it in order that it may continue to do well and bear more fruit. And so there is this concept of cleansing. I must say that in my life, when I observe my life, I think, what is my thorn? There are different, many thorns. It could be more than one thorn. But I just remember growing up as a young person in elementary, junior high, and high school. For me, I had a combination of health issues and panic attacks. I don't know. I just thinking back now, I don't know why, but I had a lot of them. And that's a bad combination. When you have health issues and panic attacks, that means that every time you have health issues, you think you're going to die. So you have panic attacks. Anyway, it's a vicious cycle. And so I, as a young kid, I often thought I was going to die. And I told you that my parents, they were immigrants, and so they weren't really keen on taking their kids to the hospital. You know what I mean? For us, nowadays, if my child says, oh, I have a bellyache, or I go, okay, let's go to the hospital and get an x-ray or do something. But my parents were like, just, it'll be okay. You know, kind of a thing. And unless I was actually dying, like, on the, you know, we didn't go to the hospital. Anyway, so that was my experience. And I kid you not, God used, not that he caused it, but he used those physical health issues or whatnot to cause me to turn to prayer. And I did. And as a young kid, I prayed a lot because of that. And because of that, that all, thinking back, that all kind of led to a conversion experience. And ultimately, it led to me hearing the call to become a pastor. So if you know, I think if I didn't have the challenges and the fears, I don't know what would have happened, honestly. But I think, but looking back, I really believe that was a catalyst that God used. So here, let me do my little thing on prosperity gospel. I think this is one of the most damaging teachings around. You know, this is like the farthest thing from the gospel truth. It is taught as a gospel, but this is very damaging and harmful. Here's why. In the Bible times, they had this concept, right? That if you were healthy and wealthy and everything going great, God blessed you and you were in favor with God. If you, for some reason, got sick or your business went belly up and things started going bad for you, bad news. That's what Job, right? His friend said, what did you do? What did you? Job said, I didn't do anything. Then, and the people, when they saw that about you, they would say, what did you do? What sin did you commit? And I don't know, you know, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't know. And that was the understanding and the teaching. This is right along that same line. See, if you're doing well and you're healthy and wealthy, then God is blessing you. You're doing things right, you know, and God is happy with you. But if not, then no, you know, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. That's the idea with the prosperity gospel. And that is not true. God teaches us to take up the cross, whatever that is. And it may very well be that you're not going to be wealthy. It very well may be you're not going to be healthy. It could be anything. Okay, so here it is. Let me wrap it up. So Lazarus, just a quick thing on Lazarus. Jesus, you know, Mary and Martha come and they're like, oh, we know that. Well, if you had been here, he would have not have died. But we know that in the resurrection, he's going to be raised. And Jesus says, what? I'm the resurrection. I'm here. What are you talking about? So, here's the question. Is it more about the gift or the giver? Are you more caught up in the gift? You know, what is it that I could get out of God? What is it that I could get God to do for me? Or is it more about who it is that is giving it? The ultimate goal of prayer is not to get an answer, but for God to be the answer. And anything in life that will take you away from God, God says, I don't know. I can't do that for you. But anything that would draw us closer to God,